I love that song. Hello. I do this at home sometimes, so don't be afraid, don't be alarmed. Dance. That's like my disco. It's like, here's Jed back in the club. Basically, you just got a little taste of what that was like. My friends at home are like, oh, it got a little wilder than that. Shh. Don't share the secrets. Just saying. Welcome, everyone. I was not a modern woman. I will tell you that. Welcome, everyone. It's going to be a fantastic show today. I just added a couple of updates, actually, on the Tate brothers. I don't know if you guys saw that. If you didn't, don't worry. I've got it covered. Some craziness going on over there. Deep, deep, deep layers of corruption. I'm going to tell you what we're going to talk about today first. So we have two modern women for you today. Oh, yeah. On video, glorifying their 304 phase. Completely unapologetic about it. They're also struggling a lot with the concept of monogamy. I wonder why. I wonder what's broken there. We're going to talk about that. There is a friends with benefits scenario that one of those women talks about that literally upended my lunch. It was so nasty. Nasty. So I have to discuss that with you as well. And why, women, if you're listening, don't do what she's doing. Do not listen to these women. I always tell women, don't listen to broken women. Do not get advice from broken women. By the way, I don't say that with disrespect, but brokenness is a true condition of some women. There's a reason for it, and they should try to dig themselves out of it. Why are guys confused as to how to treat women? There's a reason why that's going on. There's a guy who says that he doesn't mind if his wife has sex with other men, with strange men, because she's bringing home the bacon. Can you imagine what is going on that's wrong in that structure? Let's dissect that. And hookup culture is a tool of the matrix. We got a story for you on that. A woman, 37, childless, says she doesn't want children. She's got some advice for women. Don't take it. Don't take it. And finally, we're going to talk about how modern life is destroying our health. You know, I bring you a lot of these sponsors that are health and wellness related. There are some really interesting stuff that's revealed in this column that you're going to want to hear. And there's a mass surveillance story. How many of you out there, you up for some mass surveillance? Want to be followed around with cameras? You want your emotions to be read if you're in a crowd somewhere? Well, that's already happening in Australia. Is it coming here is the question. So we're going to dig into all of that and much, much more. First, I'm going to tell you, today's show is brought to you by Aura, by JB Live and Aura in partnership, of course. Some of you have heard this before, but Aura is deeply, deeply concerned about your privacy and your security. It's a company, again, that I use, that my family relies on, that I absolutely love. They actually flagged two transactions for me this morning. Both were ones that I made, but you can set a transaction limit. Say you want to be notified if anybody spends anything beyond $500 on your credit card, you want to make sure it's you. They will send those alerts directly to your phone. Something you need to know is that identity theft is happening every 14 seconds in America. 14 seconds. That's a deeply, deeply alarming statistic. I signed up for Aura because I wanted to know how many times my passwords were on the dark web. As it turned out, the first time I looked, it was like more than 30 times. I had a friend that just signed up recently, and she told me her passwords were on the dark web 62 times. 62 times. I'm like, girlfriend, what are you buying out there to get your password? I don't even know how does that even happen. But regardless, obviously she wanted to get involved with Aura because she wants to make sure that her identity is not being stolen, that her credit card is not being stolen. There are people who have their identity stolen, by the way, and they lose years of their life. There are people who have their credit card stolen and they lose months of their life. It's very hard. It's a lot of bureaucracy. It's a lot of paperwork. It's a lot of phone calls. It is a headache that you do not want. I am here to protect your security. I am here to protect your safety. Okay, this is a company that I know. It's a company that I use for myself, my family. This is a company that I have recommended to all of my friends, and I trust them. They monitor the dark web for your emails, passwords, social security numbers. They send alerts right to your phone and email. If something's going down that doesn't look right, if someone opens a credit card in your name, you get an alert. We got to make sure it's you, right? You don't want somebody else opening a credit card in your name. You know the chaos that ensues when that happens? The VPN lets you stay anonymous online by keeping your browsing history and personal information safe and encrypted. You know, privacy is dead in a lot of circles. Well, Aura is here to try to solve that, to try to bring you some privacy back into your life. You know how I loathe the system, how I distrust the system? Well, this is a way to tackle that system and to protect your privacy and your security. So this is what I have for you, a two-week trial. You can check out how many times your passwords right now are on the dark web. Don't you want to know? Don't you just want to do the trial just even to know what you're dealing with? I certainly would. You're going to go to aura.com/Jedediah. It's in the description as well, so don't worry. If you lose track of this, go right into my video description and you can click on that. And you're going to get a two-week free trial to see how many times your passwords show up on the dark web. You can figure out then. Maybe Aura is something that you want to bring into your life. I'm telling you, there is nothing scarier Nothing scary. As somebody who has had my credit card stolen, nothing scarier than feeling like somebody's got a hold of your stuff, somebody's buying stuff, and that your financial security or the security of yourself, your family, is at risk. Do the 2-week free trial. That's my advice. Check it out and see how much risk you're in. Aura. Good stuff. All right, let's get in. Let's get into some broken women, shall we? Gives me no pleasure to say that, by the way. I wish that women weren't behaving the way that they are in 2023, but here we are. Broke Girl Therapy. Y'all heard of that podcast? I brought some clips in the other day. These are a little crazier. Let's go. Let's start, Deli. 8:43. By the way, the chat is open today. All chats. Deli will be sending all chats over to me right now. We'll see if we have to do a $10 minimum. But right now, all chats are coming to me. Whether you love me or you hate me, super chats will get read. 8:43. Let's go.
Even like the same person, like you kind of at one point you're gonna get kind of like,
that's what I would assume. That's where I'm saying like we're not there yet, but I would only assume by human nature, not through the like eyes of our relationship or our love for each other, but by human nature we're gonna wanna, that sounds scary and horrible to be honest, to think about only having sex with one person
that
for
does
the rest.
Sound horrible
because I am very confident and like comfortable in my relationship. And I see a very long future with it.
Right.
So then thinking about like, I'm never going to get to like experience that again is scary. And I guarantee you he feels that any human feels that way.
Right. It's scary because it's like, I get it because like now I'm in a relationship and I can relate to stuff like this. Mm-hmm. But like, I'm obviously in a very new relationship. So we're like in the honeymoon phase, but there is that kind of fear of like, what if like one day I am like attracted to someone, you know, like, and I'm like curious about that. Like, mm-hmm. is that going to be a problem?
Yes,
you know?
Honey.
But
yes.
I never.
First of all, is she very nasally to you? She's like sounding like she's got like a really, I'm hoping there's a cold or something going on there. It's a very strange, like she's talking through her nose. It's very odd to listen to. All right. That girl on the left, by the way, she looks very young. I think she's 28. I don't know how old the girl on the right is. Okay. So let's talk about this. These women aren't into their guys. They're not into their guys. Guys, if women talk like this, they're not into you. Don't pretend. Don't say, oh no, she swears she really loves me. She doesn't. So by confident and comfortable in her relationship, she means bored. She's bored. She's not feeling that guy because I'm telling you straight up, if she was feeling that guy, she wouldn't be thinking about, oh my God, I really like him, but am I going to like never get to sleep with somebody else? They wouldn't be thinking like that. Women who are really into their man don't think like that. They're like all about it. They're seeing, you know, those in the cartoons when you used to see hearts coming out everywhere, the old school cartoons, there would be like this and there'd be heart eyes. That's how women get when they're in love. It's real. It's a real thing that overtakes us. It brings us an incredible amount of joy and happiness to be in love with a man. I'm telling you, it's a beautiful feeling. We get excited. We get very, very energized by that emotion. We are not thinking about other guys when that happens. If she is already strategizing like, oh, how am I going to feel? What am I going to do? I'm never going to have another eggplant. Oh, this, that, and the other thing. She's not into you. So just accept it, swallow it, move on. It's not happening. Also, it's kind of odd to me that, you know, women don't have enough. I don't know if it's smarts or they're just like, there's a film over their eyes. Don't you know that? Honey, don't you know that you're with somebody that you're not really into if you're feeling that type of way about him? I'm sure you do. Because at some point along your road, which when it comes to sleeping with people is very long and winding, as you come to tell us in just a few minutes, there was somebody who caught your attention and you weren't thinking about another guy. So you know the difference. So this is your backup. This is what it looks like when she's got the backup and she knows damn well that he's not going to be enough. This is how they talk. So know it, recognize it, guys. Move on. If you hear girls talking about you like this, let's go to 10:12.
Hooked up with a girl on my own. He was like, yeah, as long as, you know, y'all aren't dating,
yeah,
you know, and like doing it all the time, that's fine. He's like, but I wouldn't mind if you wanted to hook up with a girl, you know, like that's on you. And there is that part of me that's like, I'm curious. Like there's like, and not that there's really anyone in particular that I want to hook up with right now, but I'm sure what if there is someone that's like, damn, I'm down, you know, and to like have that kind of like validation of like, okay, I'm able to still be in this relationship, but still explore my sexuality.
Well, that's what I think that's my opinion of what makes a long lasting relationship.
Because I see myself with my Chris and you see yourself with your Chris.
Okay. So, man, where do I begin? So she thinks what makes a really long, beautiful relationship is her ability to be with that man and to explore her sexuality with other guys. No, that's not how it works, honey. You know it. You know also that if you're looking to explore your sexual journey with other people, that you're not into that guy. And you, what are you going to be, a mom to his, you're going to share a child with him? You're going to be the mom and you're going to have one foot out the door all the time looking for some action with woman, man, whatever. That woman who's talking about women and being attracted to women, I don't know how else to say it. She just wants to be loved. She just wants to be loved by someone, anyone, anywhere. This is not, she's not a lesbian. She's, I don't know what's going on here. Okay. I think it's a hunger for attention and the fear that that attention is going to go away. That, you know, they're so stuck in that 304 phase and that, you know, in the dating marketplace phase that they want that initial feeling when you meet someone to always keep popping up, right? What they really want is to constantly have that trigger of, oh, I'm kind of falling for somebody. Oh, is he texting me back? That whole vibe. But they also want the stability of the backup, sitting at home, paying the bills, doing whatever. That's not how it works. At some point, honey, you got to grow up. You got to grow up and you got to be with somebody who, you know, you're settling down with. Are you going to have a family? I mean, I just don't understand these women that never grow up. It's kind of wild. I can almost borderline get it if you're in a college phase. But at some point, don't you have to look to the next stage of your life? It's also deeply unattractive to men. People say, oh, no, Jed, is the pushback I get sometimes. Oh, no, Jed. No, no, no. When guys really like that, they find it really sexy if a woman wants to hook up with another woman. No, not when it's their girlfriend. Not when it's their girlfriend. That's cool if it's a girl you're just hanging with and you're like, oh, wow, a home movie. Let's make it. You think you're going to be part of it. You're like imagining yourself in between the two girls like, woohoo, yeah, home run. Then suddenly you find out, oh, wait, I wasn't invited. I'm not there at all. These two women are kind of falling for each other and she's not returning my text. That's how it plays out in real life. Guys know that. Guys aren't. Guys who are really looking for somebody, for a woman that they're going to settle down with, they don't want her to be attracted to other women. They don't want her to be attracted to other men. They don't want her mind on some type of sexual activity or intimacy with anyone but them. They want her focused on the family, focused on the husband, the child, the home, all of those things. They don't want her looking out thinking like, oh, maybe I could kind of insert just one toe back into the party phase. He won't mind if it's just one toe, right? No, unattractive. Deeply, deeply unattractive to a man. Okay, let's go to 1134.
Turning 28, like next month, and it's, or in 2 months, but like, it's scary to think if I am with him forever, which I would love and plan to at this moment, that's just the end of my like sexual experience. Exactly. In like life. That's,
yeah.
That seems really that's like crazy. Sad you're
right.
to me.
You're very
but
right.
That's my opinion. I understand there's a lot of people out there who are not down for that, who prefer and monogamy.
Respectfully, that's fine too.
Totally. I don't but judge I
think,
anyone.
But I think that like people really talk
okay.
about like
let's well, stop. So she already had a whole 304 phase, she says. She had it. She's going to talk about it. You're going to hear about the friends with benefits and craziness that went on and all that. So she did it. She did. It wasn't enough. She remains unfulfilled by that experience. So this woman is unfulfilled for another reason. There's something else going on here. I'm not going to psychoanalyze her. I don't know what happened here. But if you weren't satisfied by a very long and extensive period of promiscuity, now you've settled down with someone to some extent in a monogamous relationship and you're still looking for that. You're looking for some type of gratification or fulfillment through sexual, you know, interactions that have zero intimacy because you're trying to fill some type of void. I don't know what it is, but is this a bad pattern? And it's going to leave you deeply unhappy over and over and over again. You got to figure out what's at the root of that. Something's going on. Also, let me just say this. If this girl meets one guy who she really likes, I'm not talking about the backup that she has now, who she may care for. Don't get me wrong. You can care for a backup. You can even love them as a person, but you're not in love with someone if you've made them into a backup. This the second she meets a guy who really excites her, who she can't stop thinking about, I guarantee you, first of all, the backup will be on the back burner. And secondly, she will have a very different perspective about all of this. Somehow, she's been either chasing guys that she doesn't really care about, or she's engaged and entangled in these sexual interactions with no intimacy. So they're all empty. Let her meet one guy that turns her world upside down. And I guarantee you this whole way of looking at life is going to change. It has to. Unless there's something so deeply broken inside of her, and I don't know, that she now has an inability to connect with people on an intimate level because she has trained herself so frequently to remove intimacy from sex. It's possible, but I still think unlikely because I believe that at our core, women crave that connection, that intimate connection. Okay, let's go to 1445. We'll talk about the feels, the feelings.
I think it could be in an open, necessary open relationship because that means there could be like other feelings for other people. Like the feelings,
the part, feelings gets messy.
The feelings get messy, but it's just like, but I'm open to sexually. I mean, I don't think I'm ready for that moment. We're still in the early stages, mm-hmm. and plus, there isn't anyone that I necessarily have an eye on. But like, I just know at one point there is going to be, like, I'm open to that, and if there is someone that we're both like interested in. Mainly if I'm interested.
Truly. It's all on you.
Then like I'm down, you know, or even like, I don't know if he's like into the whole swingers situation, but I think I'd be like interested in that. I don't know. Like, I just feel like,
let me tell you about a red flag girl also is a very confused woman. Okay, guys, if you're talking to a woman and she's talking in and out like this and you're like, what does she stand for? What is she saying? It starts not making any sense. Confused women, red flag. You heard her. Does it make any sense to you that she could in the same breath be talking about catching the feels and the feelings and all the feelings are really complicated? But I'd be into swinging. I could do that. What do you think's going to happen, honey? You're going to wind up getting with somebody at some point that you're going to be attracted to. There's some type of feeling that's going to happen. In fact, I knew in New York there was a couple that did swinging. And do you know what happened? Oh, man, this was a juicy story. It's a couple in New York. They started doing swinging with another couple. And that couple, like multiple couples, actually, but that couple kept showing up over and over again. Do you know that the woman fell in love with the other guy? It was crazy. It was wild. It was an acquaintance of somebody who I used to work at a bar with because I spent a few years working in the bar and lounge business. And it was wild. And the feelings got involved. Of course, on the part of a female, does that surprise anyone? No, because of how we're wired. Broke up the whole relationship, everything. Disaster ensued. Mildly entertaining for me, I'm not going to lie, because the stories were quite juicy. But it was, let's just say it was not a pretty sight. So a confused woman is somebody who thinks that she's capable of interacting. She's not ready to settle down. She's got the backup. She doesn't know. She's afraid she's going to lose this sexual journey that modern feminism and modern media told her is really her mantra. That's really a sign of empowerment. She's afraid of all these things. So she's just blabbing out stuff that you're sitting there being like, what does she want? Does she want a boyfriend? Does she want a swing? What does she even want at the end of the day? That's a headache for you guys. If date one looks like that, you don't want to see date two. You certainly don't want to see date 10 or 11 because you're going to be, you know, your hair's going to be turning gray and your eyes are going to be bugged out and bloodshot by the time you get there. Save time, get some sleep, move on. Also, how unbelievably unattractive for a woman to say, well, she's in a relationship. There's no one that I have my eye on. What are you talking about? Why is your eye looking anywhere else? What is this idea that you could potentially have your eye on something else if you're with a guy that you're into? That's disgusting, man. Don't you hear it coming out of your mouth? Would you want, I mean, is that an appealing thing if your guy said, well, I'm with her, you know, I don't have my eye on anyone else. She'd be crying, calling a friend. He doesn't love me. He disrespects me. He's a misogynist. My feminist teacher was right about him. My college teacher knew. You know, you're dealing with some garbage like that. So, you know, come on. You can't just throw this stuff out there. And that's why guys who date, they may date you, but they're not going to respect you. And they're not going to think you're taking them seriously. So they're not going to take you seriously. And suddenly you find yourself in a situation where he's sleeping around and you're like, well, I didn't know. How did it get there? Well, it got there because you were talking about having your eye on other men. Ridiculous. Own up. Take some responsibility for your behavior. You can't just blame out all the time. Blame in. Okay, 1715. Let's talk about monogamy. Monogamy scares these women. Why? Why?
Just like you said, like being in a box. Like it feels good to be like having that as an option. You're like
in a monogamous box.
Yeah.
And that's a little scary. But
right.
You want, I do want the emotional monogamy.
Oh yeah, for sure. Don't be like fucking having feelings some other bitch.
See, that's why I envy and I You hear that?
Just saying.
But that's why I idolize and I'm really intrigued by polyamorous because I think it, again, it truly takes a high level of emotional maturity and intelligence to be able to like recognize jealousy and to share someone with somebody else. And also to have enough of yourself to give to multiple people.
Yeah, that's the part that's hard. I'm
exhausted giving it to one.
Exactly. Like, I'm exhausted giving it to myself.
Yeah.
Like, let alone, like, having, like, three other people to be in a relationship with. Like, I'm very curious. Whoever you're friends with that is polyamorous. Okay. If you are.
So they're talking about emotional. They want emotional monogamy. They want the simplicity of that, right? They don't want their guy full. Basically, what they're saying is they don't want their guy falling in love with another woman. Well, listen. Once you open the floodgates and you say, oh, I'm going to be over here on Saturday night and then I'll come back and you can go over here on Sunday night, and you open that floodgate of opportunity and possibility, you're no longer in control of what happens. So maybe he meets a woman who he's really into and all of a sudden you're on the back burner. You don't know what's going to happen in a situation like that, especially because you've made it very clear that that relationship doesn't really matter to you. You're willing to let him go do that. If you don't put up any resistance to that, right? What's the message that he's going to get, right? I mean, even guys, by the way, even guys who have a certain dynamic in their relationships and are open about it. Like, I had that conversation with Justin Waller. He came on and he's entitled to create any type of relationship he wants. And if somebody wants to sign up for that, cool. Like, I'm not going to judge that. If he says, and I'll guarantee you, we'll ask him this, but if he says to a woman, oh, by the way, I love you. I'm not going to fall in love with anybody else, but I want to have, you know, the freedom to do X, Y, and Z. And she puts up no resistance. I think that would be deeply unattractive to a guy like that. If she was just like, okay, whatever. No, you want that woman to care enough to push back and be like, well, I really love you. And what does that mean for me? And you want to see a woman that is invested in you emotionally. Men do not want to see fickle women who don't care where they are or what they're doing. That's not appealing to them. That's not a woman that a man's going to fall in love with. She has to care about you deeply. She has to care deeply about, even if she signs up, right, to be one of two or one of three, she wants you to know and she needs you to know that you're only going to love her. There's something special that she needs to know is going on there. I'm telling you, ask the guys, talk to the Sterlings and ask them. You see what they say. I guarantee you they're going to agree with me on that. All right, let's flip to, also, wait, let me just go do this for a second. Why is the monogamy so scary to these women? Women in the chat who are here, doesn't it concern you to see women who have completely disconnected sex or emotion in such a way that now the idea of monogamy is scary? And monogamy is scary, but sharing your body, your intimacy, your womb, essentially, your future womb, right, that could house a person with a complete stranger over and over again is not scary. That tells me that women have lost their way. That's deeply upsetting to me as a female, as somebody who always took a lot of pride in, you know, this was my temple. Very, very upsetting to see, and very sad, actually. And when I say, where are their parents, that's why I say that. Who raised you to have this view of your body? Deeply disturbing. Okay. Let's go to 1849, where she talks about her 304 phase, and it's a bit nauseating. Be prepared.
Oh, we're going through your whole phase. Like, how was your sex like then versus now?
Chaotic. Like, chaotic, not safe. Like,
yeah.
But exciting. Exciting, yeah. New, fresh, like, very... I learned a lot about myself. I learned a lot about what I like. I learned a lot about what I don't like. I learned a lot about what I tried to run from.
Did you have using like friends sex. With, did you ever have like a friends with benefits?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Pause that. Like the same. We're going to do the friends with benefits in a second, but can you imagine a woman? Oh, is this attractive to you guys in the chat? Tell me, I want to know. Talking about the 304 phase as exciting, new, fresh. She says chaotic and not safe. But that's like written off like, well, it wasn't safe, but it was exciting and it was new and it was fresh. Imagine a woman who now judges what's exciting in her life by how many eggplants she had. I mean, this is really sick, deeply disturbing stuff. And these women don't realize. Can you imagine also? She's sitting on a podcast verbalizing this out to the world. Now we're covering it. We got a nice size channel now, thanks to all of you. You know, we're almost at 160K. And we're talking about, like, people see her face. They see, she's not worried that when she ultimately does want to land that guy, because the guy she's with, she's, honey, I love you, but you don't care about that guy. And we both know that if you really did, you wouldn't have one eye on the world all the time looking for the next eggplant. Okay? You know it. She's not worried that she's putting this out there. And now this is what people's perception of her is going to be, because she's saying it. She's saying it in clear words. And you know why women aren't embarrassed to say this stuff anymore? Because society glorifies it. Women are no longer embarrassed to say, oh yeah, my 304 phase, it was unsafe, but it was so exciting. I had a whole bunch of eggplants, you know, ooh, ooh. They're not embarrassed to say that because you have modern media and modern feminism. Yeah, you go, girl. Oh, yeah. You get that extra eggplant this week. You go get it. Yeah. Oh, you don't know his last name? Oh, even better. Oh, yeah, honey. This is female empowerment. Drew Afuala's got a big old smile on her face. That's all glorified. And you know what? You got a bunch of depressed, unhappy women. So I'm not playing that game. I'm telling you, honey, you want to be happy. You got to dig deep and figure out what you're doing here, why you're doing it, and change your behavior, because you're going to wake up one day, you're going to be a very, very unhappy 35-year-old. You're still 28. You still look very, in fact, she looks younger than 28 in my view. She looks 25, 24 even. Wait, honey. Just wait. If you continue this, I've seen a lot of girls do what you're doing all the way up to 35 and then crying lots of tears with the crow's feet. Just saying. Okay. Let's go to the friends with benefits scenario. She's going to tell us about it. She had a friends with benefits situation that, might blow your mind. Let's see. 2029, number two, Delhi.
Benefits for maybe like almost a full year, a year and a half, where it was just almost every weekend. It was nice.
Almost every weekend for a year and a half. That's some good, consistent dick. That's like the perfect, I mean, I would definitely have had feelings, but like if I didn't have feelings, that would have been the perfect.
I did not have a single, there was not a single feeling to have. Because he was the worst. Like he was so annoying and like thinking about like hanging out with him was, I mean, we would hang out. There were times we'd go get drinks with like friends or like the next day we'd like, you know, get breakfast or something.
Right.
But no, it was most of the time he was like, I don't want to bring him around my friends like that. He's extremely embarrassing and like, really? Not. Yeah, it was just.
How'd you meet him?
At a bar.
Oh, okay.
Met him at a bar.
Let's pause this. Is this not a broken woman? She's got almost every weekend. First of all, if you're going to sleep with somebody almost every weekend, wouldn't normal people be like, that's a relationship. That's a steady, that's not like a, that's somebody that you're building something with. Well, not her. Not her, because she chose somebody she doesn't even like. So she chose somebody I always write notes as we're doing this, because by the way, the reason I do this, just so you know, is because I choose the clips and I don't look at them then for a period of time. And then I react live. So what you see, this show is not built out. Like, I don't know what I'm going to say until you hear it. That's how it works, because I like that raw, honest delivery. That's just what I like to do. So I'm writing notes so that I can respond to tell you what I'm going to say. She referred to this guy as annoying, the worst, embarrassed. She was embarrassed to bring this guy around her friends. And she's still sleeping with him every weekend. So what? First of all, why? How sad are you? Secondly, how did you manage to get like attracted enough to have that very intimate moment with somebody you don't even like? That is a broken woman. That means that something in the wiring, guys, I'm telling you, you may think you have a good situation sometimes when you're like, oh yeah, you know, I got this little friends with benefits thing going on. You're dealing with some type of catastrophic mess, because there is something broken in here that goes from the head to the heart to the body. If a woman is able to repeatedly and consistently sleep with you and not only have no emotion, but actually dislike you and think, eh. And I'm not talking about somebody that you've got that, you know, somebody you're really into and then you have a fight and then you have the makeup sex and you're all like, hee-hee. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about somebody you fundamentally don't like to start off with, that you'd be embarrassed to bring around your friends. That's who she's sleeping with weekend after weekend. Broken. This is a broken woman. In a very sad way, too, if you really think about it. Very, very sad. And a little sickening, honestly, because also, what was that guy doing? What was that? Was he thinking? I mean, I'm sure that guy, maybe he was an enormous simp, who knows? But I'm pretty sure that guy probably didn't know that she was embarrassed to bring him around friends and that she thought he was annoying and the worst. And or he probably would have had a hard time with that, unless he was a complete simp or he was using her and it was some type of degenerate situation going on. Most guys aren't going to want or tolerate or allow themselves to be spoken of like that. And by the way, guys, don't. Don't. It's not worth the night of sex to be degraded like that. It's really not. I don't know how else to tell you. It's just not. Okay. Let's do 2313. How well did she know the guy? Interesting. Let's find out.
Picture.
I don't even know. I don't have him on like anything. Really? I only know his first name.
You don't know his last name or where he works or where he lives? What?
No, I don't know any of that. I picked him up from his house a few times. So I know he like lives up in the valley.
Give me his phone number. I'll find it.
I don't even have it anymore. Yeah, I know. I should try and.
Yeah.
His name was Michael. That's all I know.
Well, there's like a million Michaels.
I know.
You got a girlfriend. Imagine the girlfriend listens to the show. She's like, it's two together.
I don't think he followed. I don't think he ever followed.
My boyfriend's annoying. I remember this girl calling me.
Can you imagine? I mean, is this, do you not see who, chat, raise of hands, because I go back sometimes and look at the chat. Raise your hands if you see a broken woman. I'm serious. Women, men, hit that subscribe button, by the way, while you're there. Do it for me now if you don't mind. Hit that subscribe button. Hit that like button. And don't leave a comment. I like to see the comments. I scroll through the comments. I love to see what you guys are thinking while the show's happening. Even if you're like, I hate Jed. Puts a little skip in my step. Just saying. But it does. Sometimes the haters can fuel the content. You never know. So he got a girlfriend. Guy got a girlfriend. He was like, I got to stop doing this. He found a girl he really liked is the bottom line. He was like, bye. See you later. And she was like, oh, yeah. She didn't know his last name. Knows nothing about him. Doesn't know it. Nothing. His job. Nothing. She knows he lives in the valley. And this is a guy that you consistently and repeatedly slept with weekend after weekend. You didn't even care. Not only did you not care what he was doing when he wasn't with you, which what if he was with five other girls that week? Nasty. Nasty to invite that into your body. Nasty. Your mama did not raise you right, honey. I'm sorry. Or something went wrong. Maybe she tried. I don't want to blame the mama. Maybe she tried, but you went astray. Something went wrong in this situation. Where's dad? Just saying. You don't even know his last name. And that doesn't, when that comes out of your mouth, you don't feel like, oh, what did I do? What did I do? What a mess. What a horrible, horrible mess. Meantime, the guy was like, bye. I got what I got. I'm going for a real girl now who actually wouldn't behave this way. That's probably what happened, right? You know it. Okay, we're going to continue with this show for one more clip, I think. Oh, no, we have two more. Oh, we have two really good ones. Let me not get too excited. And then don't forget, get in the chat, super chats. I'm going to read those. Why? Oftentimes you'll hear a guy say, well, I don't know how to treat women anymore. I'm exhausted. I'm exhausted from their mixed messaging. I'm exhausted from, you know, you open the door for them. Sometimes they like it. Sometimes they slap your wrist. You know, it's like I'm trying to be respectful when I offer to pay. Sometimes they like it. Sometimes they're like, oh, I can pay for myself. You know, you never know if you're getting, you know, someone like me or like a drool swallow that shows up. So you're confused, right? Understandably confused. Here's why. Let's go to number three and play 3134.
For me, when someone showed they cared too much or they liked me too much, I always ran. I was like, ew.
Yeah.
But I always craved it. You know right. what I mean? I always
you
was always like.
You wanted it. But then when you had it, you're just like.
This weak man, he has feelings. Like what? And which is horrible. But it's actually, what society yeah. has kind of groomed women to be in this misogynist world that we're in of like. You know, men have also seen hardships throughout society, making them suppress feelings. Don't cry. Right. Be a man. Man up. Like it doesn't.
Excised.
It exactly. Yeah. It doesn't. We want it to stop, but it doesn't. So, like, we have to recognize that, and it's also impacted how we feel. Exactly. We see men cry, show feelings, we're like, whatever.
What? No, you're supposed to be this masculine.
You're taken aback because right. you're like, I've never seen this before.
That's so true.
So okay. there's definitely.
So some of this is true in the sense that you get the programming from modern media, from modern feminism that, oh, man, let it out, cry a tear. And then suddenly you're sitting watching The Notebook. He's sobbing next to you and you're like, I need a new boyfriend. Where do I find one? Right. You're like feeling weird and uncomfortable by how much emotion he's showing. I'm not talking about a guy who has a horrible condition where like his mom dies or something terrible, terrible happens and you see him cry. I'm talking about a guy who now feels that, you know, he needs to be crying all the time or getting emotional or very emotional man, feminized man, right? That's not attractive. So she's acknowledging that society tells women, oh, and tells men, oh, yeah, that's really good. And then men go and do it. And women are like, see ya, bye. And they head out the door for the masculine guy in the back who's like, what's up, lady? You know, so that part's right. That's part right. Of course, she throws in misogyny, you know, oh, misogynist culture, because the talking points just are, they're programmed. She can't help it. It comes out before she even realizes what she said, probably. But, you know, this is why guys don't know what to do oftentimes, because they're like, you know, I'm told that you want someone, you want a relationship. Women will say, I want a relationship. Then you go and you start doing relationship-like things. And they're not responsive. Well, what they didn't tell you is they want a relationship, just not with you. So women, again, if a woman is not attracted to you, really attracted to you, you're not getting anywhere with her. So these women are talking about situations here. They're saying, oh, yeah, you know, I wanted X, Y, and Z from a guy, but then they gave it to me and I went and ran because you didn't want it from him. You wanted that stuff, but he didn't have the other things that you wanted that made you want to be there. Attraction is pivotal. I really can't stress this enough. She has to want to be intimate with you. She has to get that tingle inside when you're out to dinner, or she has to get that little like, hee. If she doesn't have that, I don't care how much money you have. I don't care what you do. She's going to be missing that. And she's always going to be craving that. So that is, that's pivotal. If I'm telling you, if you've got a girl who the second you start, you know, saying, oh, let's go out to dinner, let's do this, and putting some authority behind what you're doing and showing that you're serious, and she starts to run, you're not it. You're not going to convince her. Don't try. That means she's not attracted to you. I'm telling you, when guys you're attracted to do stuff, it's like you're like, I really can't stress it enough, guys. And I know it's hard to swallow sometimes because you may be objectively attractive. You may be objectively, say you're an 8, you're walking around, you've got a good job, you've got all the stuff. And you're like, what's going on here? It's hard for you then. You're like, well, what am I doing wrong? Nothing. But if she's not attracted to you for whatever reason, it's not happening. Okay, let's go to 4841. This is the close of this section, and then we're going to move on to a simp. God, let's go to 4841. This is deeply, deeply disgusting what she says.
Sometimes you guys have sex in a week.
Do you want the real answer? The answer Chris probably wants me to give.
Both.
We probably like once or twice.
Oh, okay.
But at the beginning, it was much more. Right, and right. Also, my sex drive used to be much higher. But this goes into more of like a personal aspect, which affects everything. But I definitely suffer from anxiety and depression. And sometimes that takes me out. 4 weeks. Like it's like nowhere to be found.
Right.
And
right.
I didn't have that in my hope, like when I was single, which was
because
weird.
In your whole phase, it was like,
well, that's what you search for. And that was my medicine was right. Attention from a stranger who right. chose me okay. out of the hundreds of girls at a bar.
So I say broken. Do you believe me now? I mean, really, I'm using this word almost clinically, to be honest with you, but she's saying that she suffers from anxiety and depression with the boyfriend, but she didn't have the anxiety and depression when she was in the 304 phase. How do you think her boyfriend feels hearing that? Oh, you have anxiety and depression with me, but you didn't when you were rotating eggplant after eggplant in and out. It made no difference to you. These guys that didn't mean anything to you that, oh, wow, I feel fantastic. Yeah, let's get married. I mean, what is his takeaway supposed to be from that? And it's amazing that these women speak so freely without thinking about the guy and how this information is going to be received. This is a guy you supposedly want to marry. Oof. Again, you don't like the guy that much. Just own up to having a backup and own up to what that backup is and what he's serving in your life right now. Don't be dishonest with him. Imagine also a woman who's using hookup culture at this level to treat depression or anxiety. I mean, just think about that. Oh, I feel anxious. Let me go get a bunch of attention from random men. Let me go sleep with them. Oh, it'll be an instant pick-me-up. Let me go do that. And then this is defective at multiple levels. Deeply, deeply problematic. And also, by the way, if a woman chooses to do this, say, for 10 years of her life, and then she leaves it behind, you're also dealing with a woman whose inclinations were to do that. I'm not saying people can't change. I'm not saying people can't improve. There's a lot of self-improvement stories out there. But what was going on in that person that led her to that decision-making? And is it still in there somewhere? And is that going to come to bite me in the behind 3 years into marriage? That is a legitimate concern that men have that I absolutely understand. And by the way, shoe on the other foot, it's a legitimate concern. If you're dealing with a guy who's repeatedly, let's say you deal with a guy and he cheated on his last 8 girlfriends. And you're like looking around at your relationship and there's some red flags start happening. I mean, you're not, your head should be in the place of, oh, here, I'm going to be number 9. Here it comes. You know, if you're not doing that, then you're not being realistic about your situation. Okay. We're going to leave this. Do we have chats, Deli?
Yeah. Try refreshing it when you get the chance. There should be like 8 chats there.
Really? What do I have to do? Deli's like, why did I give you this information? I don't. Oh, it says it's offline. y'all. I don't know if you probably can't fix that. Deli, why don't you read these? Because I'm offline today. I'm sorry, guys. You know, I'd love to read them, but this says it's offline. It says trying to connect, but it's not. It's not. I can try to turn it on, but let's try. Y'all, if you see sparks, wouldn't that be great if it just, oh, PBD would be really mad if I set a studio on fire.
Just a segment of you figuring
just
out
tech. Let's do a segment of, oh, we can tag it. Ulrich's already like, I got the thumbnail. Don't hire women in tech. Okay, I don't have it. So yeah, we're going to have to, you're going to have to read them.
All right. We got one from Glenn Lawrence. He said, just wanted to say I have much respect for Jedediah. Thank you for bringing solid content and for being one of the few on Valuetainment that reads all the super chats. We got $5 from
Kumari. Listen, guys, let me just say, there's a lot of people that don't read all super chats. It's just a strategy, to be perfectly honest. Let me comment on that for a second, because I know a lot of people that don't work in VT that don't read all the chats. Sometimes that's just a decision of like, you know, a time management decision. And some people feel like you're in there, but they're not going to go read every single one. So, and there are days, by the way, that I read, I tell you guys, 10 and up. Sometimes I'll do 20 and up if I have a certain guest. So sometimes it's not all agenda driven. You know, sometimes people just make different decisions for their shows. So let me just say that piece, because I know a lot of different shows have different strategies I've learned. This is just what I do, but doesn't make it better or worse. It just is. Okay, go ahead, Deli.
And we have another one from Kumari, sent $5. Said, Jed, we're never going to see you on the PBD podcast again. You killed it last time we saw you.
You will. You absolutely will see me. We're working on doing a home team with them. It's been a bit of a scheduling crazy. PBD goes live early in the morning, and I have a 3-year-old who has all of his stuff in the morning that I really, really love to be at. So PBD is very, you know, understanding of the fact that, like, in my world, it's like I'm a mama first and then everything else. So mom, wife, everything else comes below that. So we have him signed up for some stuff now that happens in the morning. So it's been a bit challenging, but of course I have love for PBD and for his show. So you will see me there soon. We're working on a date right now. Don't you worry.
Chino quoted you and he said, nasty.
Nasty. You got to get, listen, if you're going to do nasty, it's got to be like nasty. You got to have a little bit of that Brooklyn nasty. There you go.
They're asking for a nasty meter.
Oh, I should do that. What does that mean? If it's like 1 to 10 nasty? Yeah.
No, like 1 to 100%.
Like, 1 to 100%. Okay. You know what? We could probably make that work. Although I'm telling you, I'm kind of like a glass half full, glass half empty kind of girl. I'm like a woman who exists in the extremes. So there's going to be a lot of 100% nasty coming your way. Just a 99.999% nasty. Just saying.
All right. The next one is from Mayron Rhodes. It says, thank you for your discount code. Got $60 off my first Rocasa order. Looking forward to getting the rest of the toxins out of my house.
Nice. Amen. Rocasa is the bomb. And by the way, you're going to get, I want you to hear later in the show, I have something special for you all because I want to get you healthy. I don't want the matrix taking advantage of sickly people. So I'm going to share something with you that is going to even fuel your desire to detox your life even more.
All right. She sent another group super chat. It says it's because they are afraid of the responsibility and self-denial that comes with monogamy. Mm. And they can't imagine loving anyone else more than self.
There you go. There you go.
Then we got Ryan, the eating warrior. He sent $5. He says, these vids just solidify my decision to search overseas wherever I start looking for a relationship again.
You saw MLD talking about that. We had a clip that went viral with MLD talking about how men are leaving the U.S. and going elsewhere. By the way, we're going to bring MLD on from Tokyo. I'm like, can you just be outside? Just show us around. Can we get a little tourist? I would like to visit Tokyo via the phone. Wouldn't you? I mean, it's like a little bonus. So we're going to do that. And I'm going to ask him, by the way, about that clip that went viral with us and to delineate a little bit more of the differences. I think it'd be interesting for guys to hear that.
We got a Blue Pill Unplugged sent $5. He said, women for the 3 to 4 generations have been socially conditioned to prioritize their happiness over everything else.
That's true. Selfish, right? Becoming more and more about me. Me, 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 me versus about, yeah, that's true. I agree.
Then the last one, we got KS. He sent $5. They may be some women like this, but they will practice in silence.
Interesting. Okay, I'm going to make, because the chat is malfunctioning on my end, I typically give Deli, I tell Deli to send everything my way, including stuff that's hatred and stuff, but I don't want to put Deli in an awkward position where he's got to read them, although that would be funny if Deli was, you suck, Jed. That'd be awesome. Deli would be like, I'm ready, I'm down. That's what I'm here for. I'm going to make them 10 and up for the rest of the show. This way, if it's something that you really want to get across, we'll read it, but this seems to be not functioning. And, you know, I like to get in there and read them too. I don't like Deli to have to deal with the crazies. Some of y'all are nice and some of y'all are like, Okay. Let's talk about some simps. So here's the question I have for you when you watch this TikTok video that we're about to show. We're on number 5. Is this guy a simp or is he just using her? What exactly is going on here? I'd be curious to hear in your comments and whatnot. Audience, you know, I love your participation. So let's take a look. What do you think?
Guy says, why show off how many dudes I sleep with and embarrass my man like that? Do you feel embarrassed?
Look around.
Look around what?
A $2 million house that you embarrassing me has bought.
In kids' college, kids' private school, retirement.
No need to be embarrassed. Why would you be embarrassed?
So you don't feel any certain type of way when I post all the people I'm with?
No, I don't give a shit.
Why?
Because it's your job.
You heard it here first.
Okay, what's your take? Is that a guy who, is he a simp? I don't think so. Or is he a guy who's just using her? I mean, he said, this is a woman who does the corn. Okay, we'll call it that. It really hurts me every time I have to say it like that. But, you know, YouTube is what it is. This is what she does. She sleeps with other men. She makes a lot of money. She posts stuff. I don't know if she's OnlyFans or not, but it's visible. She's posting pictures, photos, videos, whatever it may be, of her being intimate with other men. And the guy sees it, the guy that she's with. It doesn't say husband. Can't imagine why. But it's the person that she's with. And she literally put him in the video like, hey, do you mind? And he said, well, no, you know, because I'm living in this $2 million home, this mansion, and the kid stuff is paid for. And oh, yeah, everything's great. Does that sound like a guy who really loves his woman? I have a hard time understanding how a guy, any guy who has self-respect, one, and who has deep investment in that woman wouldn't be fundamentally broken by this information. Not only, by the way, that she's doing it, right? So you know your woman's going off and sharing those moments with other guys, but that it's public. So everybody who knows him knows, oh, look, that's Johnny's girlfriend getting it down with, ooh, what's going on? Ooh, and another, oh, wow, there's, ooh. No, I don't know. Is it a guy with no self-respect? Is it a guy who's a simp? Is it a guy who's using her? I'd be curious. I think he is somebody who is not particularly invested in that woman. I think he's getting a nice, well-paid-for ride. I think he's probably not terribly ambitious on his own and doesn't feel like, well, you know, I would have to do all this stuff to make up for the amount of money she's bringing in. And I think he's just not that into it. And he's kind of swallowed it and been like, well, he's doing it for the money. Also, by the way, we talk about broken women. That's a broken man. Never said men can't be broken. That is the sign of a man who doesn't care about whether his woman is out there not only sleeping with other guys, but broadcasting it all over the internet is a broken man. Disgusting. Disgusting. And by the way, deeply unattractive. Deeply unattractive in a man to have that kind of quality. To want to share a woman at that level and be publicly humiliated over and over again and have it not bother you. And by the way, to take the money. Why don't you go out and earn that money? Why don't you say, listen, I'm going to go out and I'm going to earn enough money that we can have a beautiful lifestyle. You're not doing that or I'm out. Much more attractive if he was doing that. Okay, let's talk about feminism for a second. Let's talk about feminism. Now, where did I put that piece of paper, Deli? That is the question of the day. Deli's like, oh God, where is that paper? I tend to be, you know, it is what it is. I don't know if it's here, but regardless, let's pull it up. I'll be able to read it, hopefully. Number 6. Oh yeah, I can read. Look, ooh, Deli's like, well, the other day it said a woman was 37 and you didn't read that yet. Don't think I don't remember that. All right, feminism, okay, is the idea that women are free when they serve their employers, but slaves when they serve their husband and children. Okay, leave that up for a second while I'm just, I want you to not, women in the chat, by the way, I want you to just look at this and absorb it for a second. Men in the chat, look at it, absorb it. You'll absorb it differently by virtue of being, you know, men and women. Free to serve their employers. The word serve is going to bother people, right? That's your trigger word. You always have to find the feminist trigger word. But think about it. Think about that word serve for a second. If you weren't triggered by it, we're triggered as women. We are trained from a very young age, very young. You get into school, you get into a school system. I went to a Catholic school, private school. My parents worked so hard to be able to afford to put me in there. I mean, seriously, the sacrifices that were made, kudos to them. And they stuck me in there because it was the best school in the area and they wanted me to have a solid education. And it wasn't woke and all that stuff, although it was a different time. So we didn't have to worry about the woke stuff as much. But even so, I got in there and I was immediately, the messaging to women is, you know, you got to be your own. You got to self-empower, this, that, and the other. By the time I got to high school, I had outright, you know, full-on feminist teachers in that school. And the idea of serving a child and a man was like so derogatory. Like, oh my God, if that's not beneath you, you're just wrecking it, everything for womanhood if you're doing that. It was really frowned upon, really looked down upon. What wasn't looked down upon was the idea that you would get a corporate job, for example, and you would go out and you would become a slave to a CEO or a boss. So if you just take a minute and remove that word serve from your triggered vocabulary, right? You hear that and women are supposed to go, I'm not going to serve you. I'm not here to serve you. I'm not a 1950s housewife. That's what you're programmed to say. Just ignore that for a second and just think about what is more pleasant. To make a delicious meal, put that meal on the table for yourself, for your child, for your husband, have everyone be nourished, beautiful, happy, smiling, enjoying that meal. Is that servitude more pleasant or less pleasant than you sitting in a cubicle for 12 hours a day? Could you make photocopies? Did you do the photocopies? Yeah, I did them. You carry them over. Did you get my coffee black? It doesn't look black. You bring it over to the boss, you toiling away at an Excel spreadsheet, you sitting under the fluorescent lights waiting for the lunch break. I mean, just think about those two worlds. Now, I'm not telling you what to choose and what not to choose. What I am telling you is that media has painted one reality, which is the stay-at-home mom, as horrible, depressing, degrading. And they've painted that other reality of that corporate, you know, climb the corporate ladder woman as glorifying and empowering and positive. I don't know. Maybe, and maybe some climb that corporate ladder and then they become the CEO and they have the assistant and they're loving it. I don't know. But regardless, get it out of your head that if you're a woman and you enjoy that life of taking care of your man and taking care of your, I love to serve my baby. I love when I make dinner and I put it in front of his little, he's got his little booster seat and he sits down. I'm never happier than when I'm putting food on the table for my child. I love when my husband, you know, say he goes to work out, comes back, and the other day I had made like a shrimp dish that he really likes. It's wild seafood. I had it all on the table ready. He comes in big old smile and that made me happy to do that because he does a lot of things that he does for me. I have a really good man that put a smile on my face. So to me, that serving him didn't feel ugly. It felt beautiful. When I was sitting in corporate America and I was serving this one and that one, people that didn't care about me and it didn't matter and I felt devalued and I was stuck in, you know, fluorescent light rooms, all that didn't feel good to me. So what I'm tired of is media deciding that one thing should be revered for women and one path should be demeaned for women. And it's oftentimes, by the way, they place a really high, beautiful value on jobs where women are miserable. They're miserable. I don't know. I know very few. I know the media talking point is that stay-at-home moms are miserable. I don't know one. I don't know one stay-at-home mom who's miserable. Not one. Not one. I'm sure they exist. Not saying they don't exist. I know so many women in corporate America who are like, cannot wait for the next vacation, the next holiday. Oh my God, I'm getting a week off. When you have to flee your job, like, oh my God, I can't wait for my vacation. Like you're doing the countdown the day before the vacation at work. Like you cannot wait. Does that sound like a happy person? No, it doesn't. It doesn't. So I'm just telling you, beware. Don't let yourself be triggered. Find your own path to happiness. And maybe it is going to that office and sitting under the fluorescent lights and climbing that ladder. Fine. But don't do it because you were triggered by the idea that being a stay-at-home mom was somehow going to be demeaning to you. Do it because you really want to do it. That's the difference. Okay. Oh, here we go with the obesity. I showed this to my husband yesterday and he said, you know, I'm a little worried about how you're going to react to this on air. Let's go. Number 7, Deli. Let's do it. It's a video. Let's play it.
Hey, guys, let's just stand here. So a lot of you have posted a challenge for me to stand up as if I wouldn't be able to. So challenge answered. Here we go. Ready? Yep. I can stand up just like anybody else. Hope you have a wonderful day. And always remember that you are enough just the way you are because you are amazing.
Okay.
Hi.
So, first of all, she's out of breath doing that.
She's out of breath.
She was out of breath standing up and sitting down. Okay? Let's be honest about it. You know, she seems lovely, by the way. I don't know her personally, but she seems lovely. But I'm not going to play the game. I'm not going to watch that video and say, oh, you know, to each his own. There's beauty in every size. Don't worry about it. She's happy. Who's to say she's unhealthy? Somebody else could be unhealthier than her. You don't know what she eats in a day. I'm not going to spew garbage to you because then, you know, I get a little sticker that I'm part of the woke community. Yay, Jet's part of the club. Yay, she didn't offend anyone. I would rather offend her and get her to change her life. That is not healthy. That is deeply, deeply disturbing. It's not amazing. She may be an amazing person on the inside. Don't get me wrong. But what she's doing, not amazing. If she has loved ones, that's disrespect to them too, because they want you around. They may rely on you. They need you. They love you. Does she have children? I don't know. If she does, that's disrespectful to them. If you're a parent and you don't take care of your health, let me say something controversial. You're a parent, you don't take care of your health, you're showing disrespect to your kids. Showing disrespect to your kids and your grandkids. You get your, you know what, together. I don't care what you have to do. You have to eat well. I don't, you know what? Intermittent fasting wouldn't hurt for that woman. I'm just saying. Do whatever you need to do to get yourself in a better position of health for yourself, for your family, for your loved one, for your friends. You have been given the gift, the beautiful gift of life. It really bothers me when people take that for granted. You know, there are people who get terrible diseases, right? Terrible diseases, and they're faced with these horrible predicaments. If you're somebody who has not had that horrible challenge presented to you, and you instead have something that is largely in your control, and I don't care what's going on. People say, oh, you don't know, Jed, what her health condition is. I know that she doesn't need to look like that and that she can do something very drastic to get that weight down. So I'm not going to sit here and entertain. I don't want to see, oh, memes of, oh, love yourself the way you are. No, don't. Don't love yourself the way you are. Don't. Look in the mirror and say, I'm obese. It's dangerous. I have to take deep breaths and I'm hyperventilating to sit up and to stand up and sit back down. I'm doing something about it. And there's a guy on Twitter, by the way, I don't know if you saw him. He's chronicling his journey that I've been retweeting some of his stuff that he's trying to lose weight. And he's like, obesity's not cute. I'm not cute right now. I'm in the gym to fix this. Props to him. Props to him. I can't condone this crazy anymore. And you shouldn't either. Now everybody's afraid to call somebody obese, afraid to speak the truth because they're afraid they're going to get canceled. I don't care. Deeply disturbing what you just saw. Deeply disturbing. All right, hookup culture. Let's get to it. Number 8. I think we're almost. Yep, yep. Oh, look at that. Deli's playing some type of music. He wanted to dance. What are we going to do? All right, let's see. This is Jana Hawking. Oh, here we go. Okay. We'll have a picture of her to scroll down and see in a second. She's 37 years old. There she is. I did some research on Jana. She's 37 years old, and she says she doesn't want children. Oh, look. Here's the feminism chart I was looking for before. She says she doesn't want kids. Shocking. So I see this article, and I just want you to know, we talk about the Matrix, hookup culture, and advocacy of hookup culture is a tool of the Matrix. Jana Hawking, the real reason women like bad boys. Let's do it. Let's read some of this because it's really good, and you need to know. But that's the backstory. She's 37 years old. She doesn't want kids. She takes heat, she says, for being that age and not wanting kids. She's adamant that she doesn't want it. Great. She says, okay, full disclosure, it was Valentine's night, and we had met for a post-work cocktail and commiseration with her girls. We were all single and all have situationships. That's the new word for, you know, sleeping with somebody you don't care about. Nasty. With guys who don't make good partners. So you're doing a situationship, not just with any guy, but a guy you've already decided isn't a good guy. You've already decided that that guy's not a good guy, but you're doing it anyway. Nasty. Okay. It feels a bit naughty. It's experimental because we know it's not going to last. Therefore, we weren't worried about coming across as wife material. And we can be 100% sure we weren't going to do it again, so it's slightly addictive. Matrix programming, by the way. Matrix programming that this somehow feels good for women. It doesn't. It doesn't. Now, this woman may need to convince herself of that because she's hitting the wall hard, right? 37, terrible age. I'm telling you, 36 to 30. No, I'd say 37 to 39 is a woman brutal. Brutal, especially if you're single. I wasn't single at that time, but I know people who were brutal. Brutal, 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 because the face starts to change. Things start to change in the body hormonally. And you're like, if you're alone, I can't even imagine. I truly can't. Then you got to convince yourself that you're happy. That's what's going on here. So she's saying that this makes women happy. It doesn't. Women who are going through sex with guys that they don't care about at 37, you're still doing that? Miserable at your core, unhappy. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear the nonsense. Here we go. I've really been pondering it since our cocktail-filled chat, and I've come to the conclusion that it could actually be a blessing in disguise. Oh, she's saying sleeping with all these guys, all the bad boys that she knows, she already decided she doesn't like. She already decided that they're not going to make good partners. Oh, that's good for you and for her. Put aside the horrible side effect known as catching the feels. And what you're left with is a fire emoji-filled love life. So that catching the feels that she's saying is rare happens all the time. Most of the time, women catch the feels. Then you know what happens? They catch the feels with a bad boy. They come home. They're miserable because that guy's not calling them back. Okay? This is your reality check. We all know the serotonin released after a good romp in the hay can last a full 24 hours. So forget green juices and a good gym session. I'll take the wrong man and a cheeky night, thanks, she says. Can you imagine? After a whopper of a fight last year, this is her and a guy that she was dating at the time, we made up after weeks of not talking, and I tell you with my hand on my heart, the makeup session was worth every second of the anxiety-ridden few months we didn't talk. She's now trying to convince women that if you have an anxiety-ridden experience in a relationship, you're waiting for that guy to text you back, it's chaos, it's all that. That one night of really good sex, first of all, the sex isn't going to be good, I can tell you right now, because you're not going to feel safe with that guy. You're going to feel like impending anxiety because you know the second it ends, he's going to be out the door. So that's a lie. But she's telling you that even if it's good that night, even if that physical intimacy somehow is good, that it's all worth the anxiety. Oh, don't worry about the anxiety. It's all worth nonsense. This is not true. Guys, you need to know this is not the female experience. Women in the chat, if you're honest, you're going to also say this is not true. This is not true. I had one relationship with a guy who was, my whole life, I had one relationship where somebody was really a hot mess. I didn't stay in it long. I had a lot of anxiety through that situation. I had a lot of like, what is going on here? There was a lot of like, I don't trust him, like in multiple ways. It was horrible. It was, I can tell you that everything about that relationship did not feel good because I did not feel safe in many ways. And I got out of there pretty quick is all I'm going to say. But regardless, it's not pleasant. Like that's not the same thing as like, oh, you're in the honeymoon phase with somebody and it's like, will he call me? Oh my God. It's not that. This is a deeply unhealthy way of looking at relationships and justifying your bad behavior, by the way, and your lost in space syndrome and you're hitting the wall and panicking that you have to now try to get other women, by the way, to fall in the sinkhole that you're in. You're now trying to get other women to make these mistakes that you've made under the premise that you're somehow happy being rejected repeatedly by guys, sleeping with a bunch of bad boys that you know you don't really like and don't really like you. So this is dishonorable behavior on the part of a woman. You're giving bad, horrible advice to other women because you're unhappy and you want company. And that's very sad. Do some self-reflection. You're a grown woman. You're 37 years old. Do better. Do better. You can make whatever decisions you want with your life, whether you want kids or not. But telling women they're somehow going to feel good in this horrible, desperate cycle of trying to get attention from men who they know aren't good for them and who don't care about them, deeply, deeply dishonorable behavior on the part of a female. Sorry to say. So let's see what else we got here. Oh, yeah. Here we go. The good news is this bad boy phase usually wears off, she says at the end. You take them off the pedestal. So they clearly don't belong on and start to appreciate the good guys. You actually long for a nice date with a guy who adores you. So my only advice, if you choose to find yourself a bad boy, don't get pregnant with them. Always wear a condom and know that the relationship has a time limit. Now go treat yourself to some fun between the sheets. That's her advice. Her advice is go sleep with random men who you know aren't good for you and you don't like. Don't get pregnant because, you know, you don't want to be tied to them in any way because you know they're not good. You know they're dirty. So wear that condom and go have some fun. I mean, do not take advice from broken women. Women, don't listen to women like this. You're going to be miserable. You will be miserable. You'll be unhappy. You'll be anxiety ridden. You'll be calling your friends crying at night. You'll feel empty. You'll feel vacant. You'll feel used. And by the way, she probably does too. She's just got to hide it, Chelsea Handler style, and try to convince you she's happy. Guys, don't date women like this. Don't date women like this. If a woman is proud of this phase of life that she's talking about, I don't care when it happened. If there is a woman, now, there could be women who say, you know what, when I was younger, I did stuff that I regret. I would never do that. I wouldn't want that for my daughter. I wouldn't want that for my child. I was a lost soul. I look back on it. I frown upon it. That's different. I think that's a woman that you can entertain being with. Absolutely. Because that's somebody who's grown up. That's somebody, you have to give people room to grow and to do better. But if you're talking to a woman and she's like, oh yeah, my 304 phase, that was fantastic. Oh yeah, I slept with a whole bunch of bad boys. That was just me learning what I liked. I needed to learn what I liked in the bedroom and didn't like. You couldn't learn what you liked and didn't like with a guy that you really cared about? Nasty. You're dealing with a red flag girl. Okay? Mm-mm. No can do. All right. I keep wanting to take a drink, but it's hard when I have the articles. It's no break. You know what I'm saying? Is we have more chats, Deli?
Yeah. Want to read some while you're taking? All right. Yaj Y sent $10. Are you willing to debate Destiny? I just think you had a formal debate with him. Our ideas would be utterly obliterated.
Yeah.
Are you willing to fight the blue-haired menace?
Yeah, I had Destiny on in the beginning, but it was more of a political debate. But I have invited him back. And I'm some news for y'all. I want to do my show with live reacts, but me and Destiny reacting to the girls and the guys. What do you think? You think that would be fun? I think us sitting here and me playing through the same clips that we always play through, only you're going to get my reaction, you're going to his reaction, and we're going to go at it if we disagree. I think that could be fun. So I've invited him already. We'll see. I'll let you know what he says. He's been here once before, though. You can scroll back. I want to say like 4 months ago, and you can. It's mostly political, and it was different. The show was a little bit different back then. It was more of an interview style that I did with him. That's not how it's going to be this time around, though. But I think it'd be fun. Go ahead.
We have a chat from Beaten Cheeks. He's back with $5. He said, thanks for clipping that whatever podcast when I was calling out the delusional girl, thinking she was a 10. I have another zinger from last night.
Ooh.
Then Beaten Cheek sent another $20. He said, I sent $5 chat before you upped it, but I love that you clipped the whatever podcast. And yeah, basically saying what he just said before.
Yeah, Beaten Cheeks is always in the whatever chat.
He's everywhere.
Beaten Cheeks. I've seen Brian be like, Beaten Cheeks. It's like, Beaten Cheeks, you're more famous than any of us just by being in all these chats. Welcome. Welcome aboard.
Part of us now.
There you go.
Megara Rosatsu said he is not a simp. He's a cuck, basically a man who accepts other men doing their business with his girl.
Disgusting.
These guys are also the type of who might accept raising Tyrone's kid after the fact.
Mm.
Wow. Mm. And we have one more from Farhad Malik. He sent $20. When my kid gets married, I'll vet which families they get married to. Imagine finding out your son or daughter-in-law's mother once had an OnlyFans or was in the adult industry.
Can you imagine?
That's crazy.
Can you imagine? Oh, imagine going over to you meet a guy and you go over there and he's like, meet my mom. Red flag family, run out.
In his last follow up, he said, I cannot afford to stay in my family legacy of past 304s.
There you go. Okay. All right. We have two more topics. So I'm just going to raise it to 20 up for the end. If you have something you really want to say, 20 and up. Otherwise, we're going to go through these last two topics. So here's our matrix section. Stick, don't leave. I know some of you are like, oh, if it's not dating. No. I need you here. Look at me. Look in the eye. See this? Me and you, we're connected. This is important stuff. I also have a Tate update I need to give you, but I want to show you this. I want to know if this spooks you out. You guys hear about the surveillance that could be happening, right, on you? You know, you're walking around. You're like, what are all these cameras all of a sudden? Spook you out ever? Okay, check this out in Australia. By the way, Australia, home of pandemic quarantine camps, just to give you a frame of reference. This is what it says. It's from the Sydney Morning Herald. How your phone and mood will be tracked at Mardi Gras. Several cameras, security cameras, with sophisticated data analytics software that monitors crowd mood and density will be temporarily installed along Sydney's Oxford Street as part of the Mardi Gras parade on Saturday. Temporarily. Oh, how do we know it's temporary? Do you think people are going to know if they ever decide to take those down or not? Mm-hmm. Interesting. So the sophisticated CCTV software can detect an average mood of a crowd. By creating ranks of happy, neutral, sad, and angry, it can also measure the speed of groups walking. Did you know that there was technology that could be put in place temporarily to detect your mood? How weird and creepy is that? Interesting. While some of the software's functions can be disabled, Mardi Gras has decided to use all of the capabilities so proactive calls could be made about crowd safety. Again, it's for your safety. It's for your safety, remember? Climate agenda, you know, digital, everything. It's for your safety. It's always for you. When you ever hear somebody saying, this is, oh, don't worry, I'm doing this for you, but it's for your safety, ask a lot of questions. Odds are that soon you're not going to be able to be making calls about your own health, wellness, and safety because somebody else is going to be doing it for you. Authoritarians at their core. At a parade like Mardi Gras, the argument is that knowing simply a head count, for example, might not provide critical information needed to take action. Instead, knowing the density or mood of a specific area of Oxford Street will allow Mardi Gras to identify a pinch point. That means objects like coming together, hitting each other, or a crowd crush if not addressed. So they say, again, this is for your safety and security. You know what's interesting to me when you hear stuff like this? There were so many years that people existed in society and, you know, you had security and police and all that, but you didn't have all this creepy stuff, tech stuff, and people somehow managed to do just fine, right? Interesting. Now they have to measure a crowd's mood. I can't imagine how this could possibly, especially in Australia where they had quarantine camps. I can't imagine how this would be abused. Can you? I think everybody's brain dead. It's amazing. They say there's no facial recognition tracking yet. And it can't track people from one place to another. So they're making excuses, all types of things. Oh, it's not this. Oh, it's not that. Oh, don't worry. It's not scary. It just sounds a little creepy. Sounds a little weird. First of all, we're supposed to believe it's just temporary. Sure. Sure it is. Until what? A crisis? A crisis emerges and then suddenly it's like, oh, we need it now. It's a crisis. Mm-hmm. It's only for people's safety. Sure. We covered that already. By the way, mass surveillance technology doesn't just come and go. It doesn't just disappear. It gets built upon. So they do this, and then next round, they add something to it. And next round, they add something. So if you think facial recognition technology isn't coming into play in this, they say it's not here right now, next round it will be. And even if it's turned off, by the way, it can always be turned back on at a moment's notice. So what they're putting in places like this, is infrastructure to monitor you. Now, you might sit and say, well, it's Australia. I don't care. I don't live there. Mm-hmm. It's coming. It's coming. I'm telling you this. You have to think, by the way, differently about. I had a conversation with a friend the other day that said, well, people still think of America as like, well, we have sovereignty here and America is different. We're separate. You have to think about this differently. This is not just about a bunch of little governments like, oh, a nation over here and a nation over here. And like we're all making our own rules. We're talking about one big world government up here now. We're talking about World Economic Forum. We're talking about big high level institutions that are putting through doctrines that are being signed by multiple nations that put in place accords like pandemic accords, all sorts of things that they flick a button and all of the countries fall like dominoes who've signed on. So it's not, it's no longer, you can't look at this stuff as like America the Beautiful anymore. Oh yeah, beacon of hope and freedom. That's dead. That's done. America is being puppeteered now from way above, way above. That's why you see people, by the way, moving to Dubai and all that. They're looking at America. They're like, it's not the America of my father and grandfather's generation. It's something deeply dark going on here in terms of puppeteering. All right. Last topic of the day. Where is it? If only I could find it, Deli. Look, I found all the stuff from... Oh, here we go.
Actually, I have one more topic after this one.
Oh, yeah, I do. I have the Tates. I tell Deli at the start. I said, remind me, and here he is. Okay, so I have to do this one for you, though, first. This is very important, guys and girls out there. Very, very important. You know wellness is my baby. And there's a reason for it, though. You know, people say, why do you care so much about this stuff, Jed? Because you only have freedom if you have the freedom of your health. Otherwise, you are completely tethered to the state. You're dependent on, you know, government. Oh, I need this. I need this jab. I need this drug. It's very costly, by the way. Oh, I'm dependent upon hospital care, which we all have showed you the food that they distribute in hospitals. By the way, most people who go to medical school, you got any doctors in the chat? You'll know this. You go to medical school, you do almost zero study on nutrition, stress, anything that's not related to pharmaceuticals. The focus of your training is oftentimes pharmaceutical based, which should tell you everything you need to know. I see this article, How Modern Life Mutated the Human Body in 50 Years. This is very serious. And this is why I focus on bringing you the products that I do and the partnerships that I do on the show. Let's take a look. Research has shown that chemicals in the foods we eat, pollution in the air we breathe, and toxins in the goods we use on a daily basis are changing our bodies in bizarre ways, from enlarged testicles to precocious puberty periods at 9 months old. These are chemicals that literally make us sicker, fatter, and poorer, this guy says. Additives, chemicals, and other byproducts of manufacturing have pervaded our day-to-day, but how exactly they affect the human body is still being revealed nearly 50 years after this Toxic Substances Control Act. Of the more than 40,000 chemicals used in U.S. products, fewer than 1% have been thoroughly tested for human safety. Do you understand that? 1%. There is a perception, I'm going to keep reading in a second, but listen to me for a second. There is a perception, listen closely, that if you see something on a drugstore shelf or you see something on a food aisle, that that is safe for you. That is not the case. Okay? If you turn over the back of that and you see a whole bunch of stuff you don't recognize, pay attention. Just about anything we buy and consume, including processed foods, fragrant soaps, nonstick cookware, gas stoves, cosmetics, plastic bottles, paint, hair care, and menstrual hygiene products, to name a few, have been shown to increase our exposure to harmful agents with the power to infiltrate organs and play with hormonal balance. But before you rush to your pantries, closets, and cabinets, the effort to avoid potentially harmful chemicals entirely may be out of our hands now. So what are they talking about here? Simple things can be done. They say eat organic. Don't use products with PFAS or phthalates. PFAS are forever chemicals. I'm going to explain that to you in a second. Crack open a window to recirculate air. I don't want you to be afraid when you hear this stuff. I want you to be empowered. Because you can, you are not going to be able to avoid every toxin that you encounter in life. And you shouldn't try to. You have a liver for a reason. You are what you should be doing is getting your body into peak performance, eat well, exercise, get enough sleep, so that when you encounter toxins, your body recognizes them and can purge them. Give you an example. I'm sensitive to paint, sensitive to chemical fragrances. Why am I sensitive to those things? Not because, oh, Jed's fragile. No, because I have an immune system. I live a very healthy life, and I have an immune system that is wired to now detect a toxin, be repulsed by it, and want to get away from it. So I'm sensitive. Thank you, God. Okay? Take that sensitivity and wear it like a badge of honor. What's happening now, you have forever chemicals. You have all of this stuff you're being inundated with every single day. So your goal is not to try to avoid everything. Your goal is to try to make your home product by product. Oh, hey, listen, I got shampoo and conditioner. Let me switch these out for more non-toxic options. I bring you those products here. Every single show, we bring you something, almost every show, that's a sponsorship that enables you to do that for your life. Oh, let me cycle in some quality supplements. Oh, let me get some quality sunshine. Vitamin D is amazing for the body. Oh, let me circle in some organic, you know, fruits, vegetables. Let me see. Oh, is there a farm near me? Maybe I can go and buy some milk and dairy over there. You know, let me see what that. In fact, when we were talking about egg prices, I went and got them through a farm. They were cheaper and the quality was far superior. So it's not always going to cost you more money either. Just know that. Take a listen. It doesn't mean you zero out your exposure. It doesn't mean there aren't harmful exposures that are remaining. It's just about getting that load down, right? That's all you're doing here. You talk about brains. They talk about ultra-processed foods are linked to depression. We know that. If you're eating it out of a box, turn over the box of food that you're eating and look at the ingredients. If you don't recognize a lot of them, you know that's a problem, okay? They're also finding that a lot of foods have glyphosate in them. Glyphosate is a horrible toxic chemical that they use, and they put it into the ground, and it causes a mess, and it leaches out. There's tons of brands now that say, you can go to like grocery stores, and they say glyphosate-free. Awesome. Awesome. It's still bread. It's just glyphosate-free. There's little stuff you can do. VOCs, you know what those are, y'all? I complained about paint when I remember when I moved here. I had a couple issues with paint. Because I know I'm like a VOC detector. Volatile organic compounds are in citrusy smelling candles. They're in paints. They're in cleaners that you use around your house. You can buy all of that stuff. You know what I use to clean my countertop a lot? Filtered water mixed with white vinegar. That's what I use to clean my countertop a lot. I have a ton of companies I'm going to bring you guys to. And you don't have to do it. Don't feel pressured to do it all at once either. Don't get overwhelmed. It can be very overwhelming. You know what I did? I did product by product. This month I did this. That was all I could afford at the time. The next month, I did this. That was all, you know, little by little over the course of a decade to clean out a lot of your life. That is completely manageable and completely doable and possible. And by the way, I started doing it on a teacher's salary. So, you know, it is what it is. We brought you information about cookware, nonstick pans. Remember, I brought you 360 cookware in here. I shared that with you right from the start. But just know this stuff is really serious. So, nail polishes, shampoos, stuff that you have, they have chemicals in them that make them more elastic and durable, linked to 30% to 63% increased risk of type 2 diabetes. They have a bunch of nail polishes you can buy that have, they're called 12-free polishes. Has a whole bunch of chemicals weeded out of them. They're awesome. I use them all the time. They're amazing. There's nothing wrong with them. They just took 12 chemicals out that are hazardous to your health. Stuff that you can buy candles out there that have, you know, essential oils as opposed to all this garbage. You don't want food for your kids. Turn over your kids' food. If you see like red 40, yellow 5, yellow 6, all that stuff, that just means food dyes. You know what food dyes do? They go into your gut and they eat away at your gut lining. Get rid of it. And then, you know, oftentimes it's funny. I remember my dad used to say, well, when I was younger, we didn't worry about all this stuff. Yeah, when you were younger, the food didn't look like this either. And there was a lot more home cooking, and there was a lot less eating out, and there was a lot less packaged food, and there was a lot less, let's make something quick and shelf-stabilized. We're in a different world right now, so you need to be armed with information. Also, just a quick thing. This is interesting to me. They brought up PFAS, which are forever chemicals. A pregnant mother's regular exposure to PFAS leads to genetic defects and decreased sperm production in their future sons. So, you know, you're pregnant. Be careful if you're pregnant, what you're around. It's so easy to do these things. I was actually starting. Would you guys be interested? I'm thinking of doing affiliate marketing, starting a website and putting links to all of this stuff on it. And I'm even thinking of doing, I know this sounds crazy, but something where I do a program with people where I kind of can detox your home, your life. This is something I've been working on for 10 years. So I know what I'm talking about. Is that something that would interest you? Put it in the comments. I'm curious because I know how to do it when it comes to cleaning products, when it comes to food, when it comes to what's in your cabinet, when it comes to pretty much everything that you use. Really, seriously. The guys here will tell you. They're probably laughing at me, but they know I'm really serious about this stuff. So that's something that I've been thinking about doing. Okay, I want to get to... So think about that and just know that the reason that I'm passionate about it and that I bring it to you is because I don't want you in a body that's reliant on the government, that's reliant on the big pharma incentivized medical system. I want you to stay out of the hospital. I want you to be really healthy. And I know that it's within your power to do it. I also, by the way, people say, oh, well, this is why regulation matters. Oh, garbage. Do you trust the FDA? Who regulates this stuff? You're going to have the FDA coming in and you trust them? Really? You trust the people who created the food pyramid, the garbage food pyramid, to be able to decipher this stuff? No, it doesn't work like that. You need to become an informed citizen, and you need to learn that if you turn something over and you can't recognize anything, it's a problem. All of these websites, by the way, of companies I link to have tons of information on their website. I'm going to have to just bring in more partnerships. We have two more coming, by the way, in this field. And slowly, I'm just going to help you one product at a time, weed out the garbage and get some more good stuff in. Last thing I want to talk about is the Tates. Andrew Tate and his brother. Can we pull up that tweet, Deli? I didn't print it because it came in late. Can you read that for me? That's from Censored Man. Censored Man is a guy. I think it's a guy. Oh, there we go. You made it big for me. On Twitter, and he covers a lot of stuff related to the Tates. Breaking. I've been informed by inside sources that the appeal of the Tate brothers has been denied. Looks like another 30 days of unjustified detention, unfortunately. Not only that, Georgiana and Luana will now also remain in prison. Okay, so I had been told that Georgiana and Luana had been released and put under house arrest. I saw this right before the show. I didn't have time to go through the legal team and confirm all of this. But let me just say, this is deeply sick what's happening. I also saw a report yesterday that Tristan had gone to the hospital. I'm pretty sure Andrew has some issues with his lungs. I've been told that the conditions inside the jail are beyond atrocious, that they're not getting, you know, the proper care that they need. And this is deeply concerning at this point. These are two guys, I'm going to remind you again, that it's been 11 months of digging into their records, digging into everything. These are two guys, no charges have been filed against them. These are two guys that are now being kept in prison. Why? Why? What exactly is going on here month to month? Are you just digging for stuff and hoping that you find it because you have a certain talking point that you want out there and you have a certain result that you want found? Do you actually trust these authorities at this point to even be, you know, upstanding about any of this? Some people were talking about it. Could they plant something? Because it looks so unbelievably dark and sick and twisted at this point. Also, people, be careful where you live. I'm telling you, when I heard that they lived in Romania, my first reaction when I found out way back when was like, I don't know about that. Because I knew that there was a deeply corrupt legal system there. And these are two guys that are, let's face it, there's a lot of really bad people that can't stand them. So just be careful where you live, because that justice system, for example, in America, you can't do this. You can't keep somebody in jail just 30 days, 30 days, 30 days. You have a certain small window. I don't know if it's 1 day or 2 days to charge them. And then you have to release them if you don't charge them. You can't do these shenanigans in places like the United States. Pretty sure this wouldn't be flying in Dubai either. So be careful where you live, because especially, you know, you never know what somebody could accuse you of. And suddenly you're sitting in prison and month after month after month. This sounds deeply dark at this point to me. These two guys should be released today. They should be released today. Andrew and Tristan Tate should be let out of jail now. There is no evidence right now to charge them. If you have no evidence to charge them, you should not be able to hold them month after month after month like this. It's deeply, deeply corrupt, deeply, deeply disturbing. Yeah, I know. It's the Romanian system. I know that. But the system is deeply corrupt. And it really is looking more and more like a witch hunt at this point. And I'm actually concerned about potential evidence being fabricated at this point, because so much has been done in a dark manner here that it's very hard for someone who's, you know, if you've got your sanity intact, you're looking at this and saying anything is possible here. What's going to just turn up? If they're ignoring evidence that's shown up that's been in the favor of the Tates, if they're purposely ignoring footage around the house, if they have information that the wiretaps, you know, show that these girls had fabricated the story and they chose not to act on it, something very, very dark and very complex and very disturbing is going on here that seems to me to be deeply political. And I think it's two layers deep. It's political at a local level and it's political at an international level. There are people who want these guys imprisoned no matter what. They want them convicted no matter what. So just keep that in mind. And it's looking real dark and it's looking real sick and it's looking real disturbing. And if there was justice in the Romanian system, Andrew and Tristan would be out of jail today. And if not, then there would be charges filed. But y'all don't have the evidence or you would have charged them already. We all know that. So that's your update. I'll continue to follow this. I'm going to speak to some of the legal team today and just confirm some other reports that I've heard that I don't want to share until I confirm them. And by the way, Luana, if those two women are in jail and not under house arrest, they are being used by the system. I guarantee you they are being bullied. I guarantee you they're trying to force those women to act out against Andrew and Tristan in some way by making them so uncomfortable and making the situation so unbearable and inhospitable that they're like, I'll say anything to get out of here. I guarantee you that's what's going on. Deeply dark, sinister, sick stuff going on is all I'm going to say from what I've seen. Thank you all for being here today. I'll see you back here. What do you have, Deli?
I have one more from Ryan.
Cool.
He said, my ex-wife made friends with broken American woman while I was deployed last year. Needless to say, just got divorced and I'm moving on from her. It's sad she destroyed our marriage of 5 years for just one night. Oof.
Listen, sometimes things happen and at the time they seem horrible. And you look back 10 years later and you're like, maybe it was a blessing the way this all turned out. So keep your head held high. When life hands you a lemon, make some lemonade. Just saying. Make it with fresh lemons, organic lemons, without added sugar. Just saying. You know, I love you guys. Thank you for being here. Hit that subscribe button for me right now. Hit that like button for me right now. Show some love in the comments or show some hate in the comments. Just comment. I just like to get you talking. Thank you so much. I will see you back here on what day is today, Deli? What is this? Wednesday?
Monday.
This is Monday?
Yeah.
I'm not going to make the whole week. I'm telling you straight up right now. I'll see you back here on Wednesday then, 1 p.m. Eastern time. Love you guys.